Hello guys. I'm not used to mic. I'm gonna testify first, and then my wife's gonna, because she's got a better testimony than I have. So yeah, me and my wife, we went to a conference this weekend, and basically all they did is they said, okay, this is how you pray for the sick. You got it. And and we want you to love people, not evangelize them. Just go out and love people. Go for dinner, go for lunch or something, and chat to someone. And if you see someone that's ill, offer to pray for them. That's all they did. And then what they did is they put us at the door, and then they kicked us all out. And there we went, right? A lot of people, quite a few people, all right? So let me just quickly say what happened to me. When we were at the conference and they were still showing us how to pray for the sick, what they did is they said, okay, everybody that's got a shoulder problem, come and line up. And everybody that's got a problem of healing, they think they can't really pray for the sick, or they're unsure or something like that, come stand in front. So I went, because I know nothing about healing, of course. Anyway, so I stand in front of this guy, and I have no idea what's really wrong with his shoulder. But okay, what they did is they call another lady, a young lady, to say, okay, pray after me for this guy. He had a motor accident 2 weeks ago, and he had a ripped muscle or something like that. It's pretty serious. And the lady prayed, and he was ill, and he said, okay, now everyone, pray after me, lay your hands. And we had various results, but then we prayed again, and we had various results again, we prayed again, and a whole couple of people got healed. The guy I prayed for, he went from 10 being the most pain or restriction or whatever, to 2, and then to 0. And I was asking him, I was surprised, I was like, yes, this real? My word, is it really happening? Come on. And he had a fake shoulder put in, and he could only lift his arm till there. So I'm not sure what God did in there, but he could lift his arm all the way up. And then when we went out, the guy that was with me, there's a lady came up to him and said, hi. She was actually there the previous night. We did pray a little bit, but she had a neck problem. Her neck was sore, or something was going on with her neck. And she got prayed for, but it went down to, say, 6, the pain, okay? So I saw her, and we said hello and whatever to him, and then I asked her anyway. I'm now on the street, and she came up to us. We didn't go up to her, so this is now like a cheating way. I can just pray for her then in the street, you know? And so I asked her, do you have any pain or anything like that? She says, yes, she got a neck problem. It's sore and stuff. And I prayed, and she said, okay, she still feels it, but it's getting better. And I prayed again, so it's gone. She just felt it made do this, like, whoo, and it left the pain on her neck. So we were excited. We went out, we spoke to people, we did a whole bunch of stuff. I was walking down the road with my child, because my wife, we're looking after children of the week, and I was at the conference for 3 days. She was only one day there, and I was looking after D&E. And we were walking to McDonald's, and there was a guy next to the street, like in the middle of nowhere, and he's got a car there, and it looks a bit weird because it's really industrial. And I feel this pain here on my back here, and I think, is this not my pain? But surely this is the only guy here. This might be a word of knowledge. I don't care if it's my pain or not. I'm going to try it, right? Go up to the guy saying, it might be a strange question, but do you have a pain right here? And he says, yes. And I said, can I pray for you? And I prayed for him, you know. But then, just then, what happened is another guy came up, and I think he was selling a car or something. I'm not sure. But I got to pray for him, and then I asked him, how does it feel? He said, no, he's got to go. No, he's got to go. Right? And he said, okay, but remember, Jesus loves you. Right? So that's what we did. Right? Okay, I'm going to call my wife. She's got an interesting one. Hey, I'm building it up here.
Banner likes to exaggerate, I think. So he gave the background of the whole idea. And just to give a little bit of background about myself, I've never done this before. I don't go out on the streets and pray for people. It's like when you see people walking around, it's like widows. So it's like, oh, okay, we need to do this. And it was so weird. There's thousands of people there, and God grouped a few South Africans together. We don't even know each other. So we were 5, 4 South Africans and 1 Dutch-speaking young boy, which was cool. So we all went to Amstelveen, I think, Amersfoort, yeah. And it was so cool. We were eating lunch and we're like, okay, when we're done eating lunch, we'll go out and pray for people. And this Dutch speaking guy is like, no, he wants to go into the casino. I'm like, yeah, dude, no, I don't want to go into the casino. He's like, no, he feels he wants to go in. And all the other ladies are like, no, no. I'm like, okay, man, I'll just come with you. You want to go to the casino? Let's go to the casino. So we went in the casino and shame, there was this old poor lady sitting there and doing all the wrong stuff. But she had a little walking ring with her and we're like, oh, we can pray for her. She's sick. She's definitely sick. I mean, you can see. And he I wanted him to speak and pray for her because she's quite Dutch and my Dutch isn't that good. And I don't want to scare the woman away. And he asked her, are you sick? And she's like, yes, obviously. And he's like, no, can we pray for you? What's wrong? And she's like, no. The past 4-3 months, suddenly her legs were starting not to die, but she started walking more difficultly. And the doctor said in a few months' time, she won't be able to walk anymore. And we're like, okay, cool. Okay, this is scary. And then I'm like, okay, let's just pray. And the young guy prayed and we put hands on her legs. And usually you ask them, 10 is the worst. So then you ask them, how's the pain after the first time you prayed? And she's like looking at us weird. And I'm like, oh man, it didn't work. She's like, no, 5. And I'm like, okay, can we pray again? And she's like, again? You want to pray again? I'm like, yeah, it's less pain now. Don't you want it to be all gone? And she's like, no, yes, yes, yes. Okay, pray. So then we prayed and she started crying. I'm like, oh man, come on. Did we do something wrong again? And she walked around a little bit for us and she's like, it's gone. It's gone. I'm like, oh, awesome. Thank you, God. And then we just told her about Jesus a little bit and we just like, Jesus loves you. And she's like, oh, she can see that. She can feel it. So it's just amazing. And then we went and started praying for another guy. But then the security guard came and he's like, don't you want to leave? I'm like, okay, we'll leave. So yeah, we got thrown out of the casino, which was cool. Guys, just want to encourage all of you. I mean, there I was. It was the first time ever I tried something like that. And it's just amazing how God works. No matter who you are, he's in charge. I mean, if he's in charge, anything can happen. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Is anyone else who wants to testify what happened during your week that you say, yes, you really could feel that the Holy Spirit was working through you and that you could help other people? Because that's the whole reason of the Holy Spirit, of course. Not all together. Okay, that's fine. Right. Celebrate. It was 3-4 weeks back before we were flying to South Africa. I prayed and I asked the Lord, I said, okay, where must I preach about? And then I got the word celebrate. So today I'm going to talk about celebrate, what I feel what the Lord has been putting on my heart. And then the first thing is, yeah, what does celebrate actually mean? And there's a description over there which says then to celebrate is to take part in a special enjoyable activity in order to show that a particular occasion is important. And we bring attention to something which is not happening each and every day. So that is what celebrating, I Googled it and found it somewhere on one of those clever dictionaries. It's not my own, somebody else thought it out for me. Then if we're thinking about celebration, and what did you actually celebrate? Just two together, just quickly share, what is the last celebration you went to? Quickly. To each other, just share with each other. Which is the last celebration you went to? We will most probably see that the ones where you're talking about. I grabbed a few pictures just to show you a little bit and maybe that you say, okay, oh yes, it's one of those celebrations where I went to and where I spent some time. The one at the left top is the middle one of us getting married. So yes, maybe you went to a celebration where somebody got married. they invited you and that you attended that celebration. It's possible that a degree was completed, that you went to somebody and you were happy along with him because he completed the degree. A lot of people who have completed a degree, they can testify from that. Once you finish with the degree, it's a relief. This one I took for the Dutch people over here. So at least that they also can remember that at a certain time they also celebrated something. And if I'm correct, it was in 1988, so it was in the previous millennium that they won something like that. And there we've got a South African one, and then a South African one was in 1990. Okay, 1995, you're correct. And then we celebrated. I remember that it was all the people in South Africa went mad when we won the World Cup rugby over there. But then the most common one is actually birthdays, because that is one which is happening most of the time. Sorry? Okay. So they already went to the next slide. Okay, there's that picture then. Yeah, you're happy together, you celebrate, you invite the people. Of course, you invite only the friendly people. You don't invite your enemies and your other ones where you're fighting with. You don't invite them to your birthday. And then what we did in South Africa, I arrived then on Friday morning, arrived back again. Renee is still there. Is that a granddaughter which was born? Yes, it was her birthday. So we were not on a birthday. We were not there. But anyway, we also celebrated. We celebrated along with my son and then his wife for the third child, what they've got now. And yeah, it's a celebration because you're happy. You're happy together that something like that is happening. And when we were there the week which is past now, then we got a message from Jan Willem and Carly, who visited us something like 6 weeks back, that there's a second one for them also on the way, and that's going to be at the end of November somewhere. So the Van der Vians are extending in London and in South Africa. And we also have got somebody among us whose birthday it is today. But I'm going to talk a little bit later about what actually a birthday is and what a birthday should be and what we should celebrate. What does the Bible actually say about celebrating a birthday? There are certain church groups what we've got in the country who say that we shouldn't celebrate our birthday, because they say it's nowhere in the Bible that it is mentioned that a birthday has been celebrated. They're talking about believers. And it is also that they say Jesus never gave the instruction to do it. So they simply forget the birthdays. They're adding most probably the ages, because otherwise if they're not celebrating it, they will remain zero for the rest of their life and they will never go on pension. So I think they will add it up that they will get to the 65 that they can go on pension on a certain time. But what for Christians is concerned, they call celebrating a birthday, they call it a non-issue. It's not really critical. If you're celebrating it, if you're not celebrating it, it doesn't really matter. It's not going to keep you away from heaven, or it's not going to bring you into heaven if you're going to celebrate or if you're not going to celebrate. There are two verses which I'm going to show you just now where we can see that a birthday has been celebrated. The one was the Egyptian Pharaoh, and that was in Joseph's time. Now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker among his servants. That was at the time when Joseph was in jail. So there we can see that there was mentioning of a birthday. There was something like a birthday which was mentioned in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we also can read it in Matthew. In Matthew it says there, when Herod's birthday was celebrated, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod, and therefore he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. And then she asked for the head of John the Baptist, and John the Baptist was beheaded, and the head was given then to her. She actually did it because her mom was asking for it, that should be done. So this is where we can see then that there are celebrations of birthdays in the Old and in the New Testament. Like I said, there are people who are not, celebrating the birthdays, and there are people who are celebrating the birthdays. If we take a look at these were pagans, the ones who were celebrating, the Pharaoh and Herod, both of them, they were pagans, so they were not Christians who were celebrating it. But the great importance is if we are, whether or not we are a Christian celebrating our services, our birthdays, is that we are glorifying God in whatever we do in all our activities. So if we are celebrating, if we're not celebrating, it's not, like I said just before, it's not the issue, it's a non-issue. It's about what are we doing when we are celebrating. We should glorify God for that. In 1 Corinthians 10, it also says over there, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greek or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. So what Paul is writing over here, he's doing everything to the glory of God. But then if we take a look at the last part of that sentence, that they may be saved. So he's not trying to get anything of a conflict. He's not going to say, okay, I'm going to prove them that I'm correct. I'm going to prove them that they are incorrect. That's not where it is about. He wants to get people saved. That is the main issue what he wants to that he wants to reach over there. So if we as Christians have got a birthday party, the birthday party should be there to glorify God. And it is also that if we're going to celebrate a birthday, if we are confronted with somebody who's not celebrating it, we shouldn't look down on them. We shouldn't say, okay, but you are now doing something which is correct or which is not correct. It doesn't put us in a higher position or them in a lower position or anything like that. That's not the case. And there are actually two ways of celebrating a birthday. The one would be is that you're basically going to acknowledge. You're going to say, okay, it is your birthday. You're going to become 18. You can drive a car now. Your keys, maybe you get a car. Maybe, I don't know, depending on your parents. It could also be that you become, what are the other critical ages? Yeah, 18 you can vote, 21 you can maybe do certain things as well which you couldn't do beforehand, and so on and so on. So there are certain ages, so you're acknowledging then that the people are getting at that level, at that age then, or becoming 65 that you can go on pension. But then there are also people who sometimes they elaborate, and they really elaborate too much. They go totally, I nearly want to say, overboard with a birthday. What we've seen just now as well with Pharaoh and with Herod, both of them, they had big parties over there. It was for them, it was just to show whatever they've got, and it wasn't really for a birthday. It was just to go totally overboard. And that is not the way what it should be. Paul is also giving a little bit of a guideline to help us with he's putting it, he's using that guideline, he's basically putting it if we should have, which day we should have the Sabbath. But we can actually use the same guideline to discuss or to decide if we want to have, if we want to celebrate a birthday or not. And that is in Romans 14 verses 5, where it says, one person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. But let each be fully convinced in his own mind. Which means that if you take a decision that you're going to have your Sabbath on a Saturday and you want to go in church on a Saturday, then you've got to convince, you've got to tell God why you're doing it. You've got to be convinced in your own mind. And it's the same with if you want to hold it on a Sunday as what we're doing it, as what we've learned it, that we've got to do it, then we're doing it. We're not saying that they are incorrect. They're not saying that we are correct, but it's a way of handling the situation by saying, okay, one person thinks that one day is better than the other, and the other one says then that the days are exactly the same, but let each be fully convinced of our own mind. So you've got to make sure that what decision would you take over there, that is the decision. Or that one can also be brought back to the birthday. So if you decide you're not going to celebrate a birthday or you're going to celebrate a birthday, just be convinced that you make your correct decision over there. We've got some festivities in the Bible as well where people were celebrating. And there's nothing wrong with celebrating something. But if we take the thing what we're celebrating and we make it so important that we actually totally forget where it is coming from, then we're missing the boat. Then one of them would be the Pasch, the Pascha, the Passover, what the Jewish people have got. Then they're so involved with all the rituals, and they're so involved, and it must be exactly that time, that day, and so on and so on, and it must be done that way, that if we take a look and you ask them about the whole thing, what actually happened over there, yeah, they do not see it. They're so focused on the nitty-gritty in the festivities, which is not correct, that they are focusing on that. But we should celebrate God who is in our lives. And this is what we're doing over here as well on a Sunday service. On a Sunday service, we're celebrating over here. We're coming together and we're celebrating that we've got a relationship with God, and that makes us excited. And that gives us energy as well. And that gives us power to go through the week, helping us that we are celebrating God on this day and that we're celebrating Him here in the service. And Jesus has given two instructions concerning the remembrance or something that we've got to celebrate. And the two of them are the baptism and then the communion. In the baptism, He says over there in Matthew 28, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. I am with you all the days, even to the end of the ages. Amen." And that is the great commission what Jesus is giving over there. So He's giving us the instruction that we've got to do something, we've got to remember something, because what we're doing with celebration as well, celebrating a birthday, we are remembering that person's birthday. So we're celebrating it. So that's the one instruction what Jesus gave then concerning the baptism, that we've got to do it continuously. And then the other one is the communion, what He's saying over there in Luke 22. "And He took the bread, gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me.' Likewise, He also took a cup after the supper and saying, 'This is the cup, the new covenant in my blood, which I shed for you.'" But we as Christians, we are celebrating then here on this earth. We're having the communion, we're having the baptism, we're celebrating here on a Sunday. But that's not the only place where celebrations are also taking place. Celebrations are also taking place in heaven. And that's a specific occasion when it is taking place in heaven. And that we can read in Luke 15. "And I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 who just persons who need not repentance." So that's actually what they say, the time when heaven is standing still, that somebody is getting saved. And what we just now saw with Paul as well, he's not really involved in all the things he wants to get the people saved. And it's the same what Werner and Dina has been doing as well. Through the healing, you make contact with a person, you bring Jesus to that person. And the final end is what you're going for is that the person are going to have a connection, a relationship with the Lord, that they get saved. And that's actually where it is all about. And this is why we're over here as well. And this is also the Great Commission. And that's what we've got to do. So that's at that time when a person says, "Yes, I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior." Heaven is celebrating. Heaven is standing still. They stop the clock over there. They say, "Wait, let's just stop there. Somebody in the Netherlands there, somebody in Brazil or whatever. We've got to celebrate. Somebody has been added to the kingdom of God." And that's where we should get energy from. This is what we should get power from, which should give us life. And that should keep us busy continuously as well. We should be busy with bringing that good news where David was talking about last week, that that we on earth can celebrate, but that we also know that heaven is also going to celebrate when people are getting in connection with the Lord. And when we celebrate, yeah, we are happy, because if you go to a birthday party, the people are not sitting there with a sad face. It's happy, they're smiling and laughing, and yeah, you're just greeting, and it's really a nice circumstance. And it's the same what actually should be here with us, what the service is concerned as well, because we know who we are. We know who we are in Christ, and that's giving us pleasure, that's giving us energy, and that is what we can celebrate. We can be happy over here, and that is with the worship just now as well. Yes, you can really, feel the presence of the Lord over here, and yeah, that's so nice. That's giving you that energy too, that you can celebrate it, that you can be joyful about it, that you can be happy about it, and that we can share it with other people. But a celebration of that relationship, what we've got with the Lord, shouldn't be limited only to the Sunday. It shouldn't be only that we, on a Sunday, that we can say, okay, now we open up the box, if I can put it that way, take God out, and I'm saying it with respect, and say, okay, now we celebrate today the relationship that we've got with God, and by 6 o'clock, we move it back into the box, and we leave it for next week's Sunday. No, it should be continuously in our life, continuously. We should be celebrating. We should be happy about it. We should be living it out. Other people should be able to see it, that we are celebrating, that we've all happy, that we've got that relationship with God, because that's what we are celebrating. We're celebrating that we know who we are in Christ, that we've accepted Jesus Christ, that we've got a relationship with the Lord, and that we can want to share it with other people. That is what we are celebrating. We're celebrating it here on a Sunday, but it should be during the week also at home. Our kids also should see it. The people staying in our house should see it, that we've got a living relationship with the Father, that they can see it. The people around us at work, they also should be able to see it. And they should, if you've been working at a certain place for a year, the people should know that you're a Christian, that you've got a relationship with God. If they don't know it, then you've never shared it. You've never shown it to them. They've never asked you on a Monday, but why are you so happy and on a Tuesday? Why are you so happy and on a Wednesday? Why are you so happy and on a Thursday? Why are you so happy? They should be able to see it. They can say, yeah, I can see something in your life. And we've got to be happy. We've got to be celebrating it in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the whole world. We are celebrating. We're celebrating the Bible, which has God given to us, that letter what he wrote. We're so glad about it because it's giving us a lot of examples so we can open it up and we can read it. We're celebrating Jesus who died for us at the cross. We're celebrating that. So we give all the honor and glory to him. We're celebrating the gospel, that good news, what we can share with other people. We're celebrating the Holy Spirit, which can work through us, that other people can be healed, that other people can get words of wisdom, that other people can come closer to God, and that they also can be saved. We're celebrating that eternal life with God the Father. Because what we're doing with celebrating, if we're talking about celebrating over here, we're celebrating for something what is coming in the world. People are celebrating something which is in the past, what happened before. And that's, I think, where the difference is. Because we are so happy, because we know where we're going to. And that let us celebrate. It's not about what happened 5 or 10 years, or let's say a birthday or something like that. That's not really, because that's past. But if we're talking about God, we're celebrating what's going to happen in the future. And that's where people should have a look at you and say, yes, I can see. I can see what God has been doing in your life. It's giving you energy. It's let you celebrate because you know who you are. And then the last one I've got over there. We've got to celebrate who we are in Christ. Because if we know who we are in Christ, that through Christ that we can call the Father, the Heavenly Father, the Creator of heaven and earth, that we can call him Father, that's really something to celebrate about. Which means if we take a look at everything what we see, what we can see with the bare eye, sun, moon, everything, he's created it. And the one who created it, I can call him Father. You can call him Father. He's waiting for us that we can call him Father. And that's awesome. And that is something to celebrate. And it's something which we can celebrate for the rest of our life over here. And if we're going in to be in heaven as well, we're going to celebrate it over there as well. We're going to give honor and glory. We're not going to do anything else the whole day. We're going to worship. Martin is going to be very busy with his guitar over there. But we're going to worship. We're going to give God all the glory and all the honor. And we're going to stand for the first 2 million years, maybe. We're just going to stand in awe how awesome it is and how great is what God has done over there. And if we know that, and if it's part of our life, other people are going to see it. Other people are going to see it, that we are celebrating it. We're not hiding it underneath a chair. No, we're showing it. We're living it out. And this is what I would like to share with you then today. Celebrate. Celebrate your relationship with God. Show it to other people. Let other people see what God means in your life. that other people can also benefit from it. If we're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that if they are working through you, that people can benefit from it, that they can receive from those gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let's stand. Father, we come to you this afternoon. We want to celebrate. We want to celebrate you, who you are. You're the creator of heaven and earth, and we're part of your creation, Father. And you know us, like you say in Psalm 139. You know exactly how we've been knitted together in our mother's womb. You know how many hairs we've got on our head. You know exactly how many thoughts we've got. And you've got more thoughts about us, Lord, is what there is sent to see. There's so many things, Lord, that we're standing in awe, because you know it from each and every one of us, Father. And we just want to celebrate. We just want to say thank you, Father. Thank you for that relationship that we can have with you. And as all the people's eyes are closed, if there's anyone who says, but I haven't got that relationship with God, God is for me distant. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I never looked up to God as the Creator. For me, he's far away. And you want to come closer to him. And you want to make that decision this afternoon. And you want to say, yes, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. Then I'm going to give you that opportunity now that you can put up your hand and that you can say, yes, yes, this afternoon the Holy Spirit is stirring me. I want to make that decision. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. That Jesus Christ can also be celebrated by me. That God can be celebrated by me as well. So if you feel that the Holy Spirit is stirring you, then I'm giving you the opportunity, if you want to react on that, that you can put up your hand. And then the second one, what I would like to do, if there's anyone who says, but I'm not celebrating God, if I talk about God, if I hear other people talking about God, it's not making me excited. I know everything. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know that God is the Creator and I'm part of the creation. But I feel that it's not really there. And you really would like to go and approach God and say, God, I want to celebrate you. And you want to make that commitment this afternoon. You already have got a relationship, but you really haven't got that relationship that you're celebrating him. And I'm giving you the opportunity as well to put up your hand that you say, yes, I want to make that decision this afternoon. I want to make that commitment from my side again that I'm going to celebrate God. I want to celebrate him. I want to celebrate Jesus. I want to celebrate the Holy Spirit. I want to celebrate the Trinity. I just want to celebrate it, that people can see it, and I'm excited about it, who God is in my life. If that's you, then I'm inviting you to put up your hand. And then I'm inviting you to come forward. And then the last one, if you feel that you need healing, that you say, I listened just now to Werner's testimony, I wish he could pray for me, then I'm giving you the opportunity now, where I feel that the Holy Spirit is saying that there's somebody, at least one here in the room this afternoon, who's got a certain pain somewhere, then I'm inviting you to come forward. I'm going to ask Werner to pray for you. That can be part of the pain, of removing the pain, that you can celebrate God, that it is not keeping you back, that it is not going to damper your gladness about God, but that you can celebrate him, that you can celebrate him in full. So if there's anybody who's got some pain, who would like to be prayed for, then I'm inviting you to come forward. Father, we give you all the glory and we give you all the honor. We want to celebrate you. From this day onward, forever and ever and ever and ever, we're not going to be quiet. We want to share it with other people. We want to live it out. You are God. We want to celebrate you. In Jesus' name.